Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast, presents episode 614, Trickle of News, recorded live on January 25th, 2018. Hello everyone, welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I am your host, Duststorm.
And I am your co-host, Godzilla T.
And go figure, we get to another week without any official Halo news.
Yay!
pretty much. It's a really slow start. I named the last show, I don't know if you saw it, but it was Cold Start. And it still feels that way with how little news that we're getting. And I know the in-person tournaments haven't started quite yet, but still. Come on. Give us
first
something.
First one's this weekend, isn't it? 28th?
Yeah. The... which one is it? That's...
That's the free-for-all in the Microsoft store, isn't it?
Yeah, that's when the free-for-alls start, but I don't think the first open LAN is until late February, the Orlando.
Oh, yeah, for HCS. I was just... You know, the free-for-all tournaments start this weekend, so...
Yeah, so
maybe I get a chance to sneak out and check one out.
I'm hoping to get to my Microsoft store for at least a few of them just to go and see what it's like there, see some of the competition, maybe do some interviews for the podcast or something like that. And we'll hopefully get to see some good gameplay out of it too. Be a nice little YouTube video type vlog thing, I think.
Yeah. Thought about sneaking out there with my camera if I get a chance and maybe talk to some of the players. And
but as GT said, all that starts this week, and it is smash.gg/MRSHalo, I believe, is the link to go register. You do have to register, and I don't know if you have to register beforehand or if you can register and just showing up. I think you have to register online beforehand, though, if I'm not mistaken. But yeah, that starts this weekend, so make sure your Microsoft store, your full brick-and-mortar Microsoft store, is not like the little kiosk things. But any full Microsoft store will have this FFA be a part of the Halo World Championship FFA tournament. So if you think you got the stuff, make sure you check out your local Microsoft store.
Show them how it's done.
Yeah. Then the next event's is the following week, and I think it's pretty much every week until the end of the North American finals, which is the March 23rd through 25th. I forget where it is, though. I know there's the Open Orlando LAN. I'm blanking on the other one at the moment. I should have had this prepared beforehand.
Oops. Whoopsie!
Whoopsies. My bad. looks like Columbus, March 23rd through 25th, is the North American regional final. So I'm guessing, because all the Microsoft stores are North America only, that it'll be the last weekend will either be that weekend, March 23rd through 25th, or the weekend prior, the 16th through the 18th. So you got plenty of opportunities to go to Microsoft stores and get to try to get enough placing or rank to get picked for the division. There are five divisions that will be selected from. Or, if you feel so inclined, you can show up at the finals in Seattle in April and try to get in through the Open FFA tournament that way. I know I'm not good enough. I'm not going to try.
Yeah, I definitely am not.
I will just be going to spectate. That is it.
Yeah, it's definitely not something I would compete in. I definitely probably wouldn't make it past my first game. I know I wouldn't make it past my first game.
I did participate in the Halo 4 World Championship, the thing that was the FFA tournament. I did play in that at RTX. I got to the top 64, and then I also played that in Seattle and got kicked out second round. So, no surprise there.
We got further than I would have.
And it's just practice.
Yeah, no. I've never been that good at FFA.
I know, me too. I'm much more of a team player than an FFA player. Because it's just, I get overwhelmed so easily when there's multiple people shooting at me. And I don't think I have the mindset to account for all those variables at the same time. I can do it with a team because I can focus on fewer amounts of things I have to think about.
Well, that, and you've got three other players distracting. So, you know, you have a lot more where you're, you know, 1v1 or, you know, 1v2, which do increase your odds of survival.
Helps spread out the kills a little bit.
You know, when it's 1v7 or 1v5, it takes a special mindset.
Not fun at all. So check that out at halo.gg for the full Halo World Championship coverage, and then smash.gg/MRSHalo for the Halo 5 FFA tournaments happening at your local Microsoft store. Next thing on the news front is in HCS, Oddball has officially been removed from play, or from the game types that will be part of the Halo World Championship 2018 series. There are some things that they found with spawning and other quirks with the game mode that they decided to pull it out of 2018 World Championship altogether.
That must be some pretty serious issues.
It must be, which that kind of sucks.
Yeah. It would be nice to see some new game modes come into the competitive realm.
Yeah, on the plus side, it's nice that they're at least acknowledging that there's issues with it and making the decision to pull it out instead of keeping it in there and trying to tweak it throughout the season. But at the same time, you add something to the game if there's issues with it and you're trying to tout the things that you're making to try to make it better and it's not making it better. What does that say about the quality of the stuff you're adding to the game? It's like 343 is trying to add stuff to it, but they can't do it right. And I'm not saying that as, like, I truly believe that. I'm just playing devil's advocate here.
Well, Halo has always had a wonky spawning system.
Some games are better than others.
Yeah, some are better than others, but they're all a little screwy. So, you know, I can understand how, you know, if it's a spawning issue that, you know, they would want to pull it back and work on it.
That's just rough, though. And I've seen a good mix of responses on Twitter and social media about people saying, thank you for doing this, and other people saying, that's not a good thing that you're having to pull this back.
No, it's not a good thing that they're having to pull it back, but I'd much rather have them pull it back than get to the point where, you know, the players themselves are frustrated with it.
And for the most part, if the other stuff has been working, then stick with what works. So it's kind of like which side do you take? Either way, hoping that the season turns out to be a good one. And with MLG behind it, I think we're going to get a lot of viewership back into the competitive space, at least. We'll see how long that lasts, but at least we'll have a good amount of people coming back and watching Halo. So that was some HCS news. Other than that, nothing else really out there. Sketch did respond to a Reddit post about what we can expect for Xbox One X enhancements for MCC, and he said they'll start trickling out some details about the update coming little bit by little bit, starting probably within the next few days. So likely the next community update, which, believe it or not, is not out by the time we started recording this podcast. Go figure. The news that we'll get on that will be slow trickle, but he did say that they're looking at a springtime, I guess, early testing of the enhancements. I don't know if that's going to be like certain people will get the enhancements pushed to their games, and then it'll kind of evaluate for those people, or if it's just going to be an internal testing that they're doing it with a like a invite group of people, or what. I don't know how they're going to do that. Or maybe Xbox insiders.
Yeah, I really hope they use a large scale to test it.
I think the insiders program would be a good avenue to do something like that.
Definitely would. And I have to admit, tonight I fired up my... I actually started playing some games on my Halo 5 Xbox, and I'm really appreciating the X now.
Loads a lot more quickly, doesn't it?
Oh, the load times. It was worth it just for the load times. Believe me.
Well, couldn't you get faster load times on a USB 3 hard drive?
You can, but it's still not to the same level as the X.
Well, no, because the X has a solid state, right?
No. It uses a hybrid drive. Well, I don't know if it's a hybrid drive, but it is a spinning platter.
1500 RPM,
I think it's
maybe?
A 7200 RPM hard drive. I don't think it's any higher than that. But the main benefit comes from all the extra processing power that it has.
So just the processing power makes it that much more quick to load. Wow.
That tells you how much of a bottleneck the RAM and the CPU is on the original Xbox.
Well, I'm wondering if that's because the stuff that's loading from the hard drive is compressed, and then it's using resources to uncompress that data into RAM.
God, if Halo is compressed at 101 gigabytes, what would it be uncompressed?
I don't know.
Talk about space constraints.
I'm just throwing ideas out there. I don't know if that's actually the case. It could be just, if it is loading those textures, compiling it into the map or whatever else that's being loaded into, kind of behind the scenes, making that.
But one thing is it
word for it is
it's more beneficial to some games than others.
Right. I have heard some reports that games perform worse on the X than they do on the original console, or the S, I guess, in some cases. But they'll work out that those quirks in time.
But currently, all the games that I'm playing on the X have received a update for the X.
That's good.
And so, you know, they're optimized to work on the X. You know, I'm kind of back to that point, you know, where computers had spinning hard drives, where, you know, you start the computer and then you go make yourself a sandwich and come back and it might be done. That's kind of what it feels like.
What, for the original Xbox One?
Start the game, go in, get you a beer, make you a sandwich, come back, and it should be ready to play by then.
Depending on the game, I could imagine that.
But yeah, I've been truly impressed with that.
That's good. Has there been 4K content updates for all the games that you play?
All the games that I've played, yeah. All three of them.
Which is what? Destiny, Halo, and...
Well, the third one, I take it back. The other one is not going to get a 4K update. I really don't think you're going to get a 4K update for Galaga.
Oh, probably not. Is that native 1080 or is that upscaled though for something like Galaga?
Oh no, it's basically in a window mode.
Okay.
I don't know what I can't even tell you what the resolution is, but you know it's. You've got a box that goes around it, and you know it looks just like it did on the arcade. You know, the same shape.
The 4:3 aspect ratio.
Still a lot of fun.
Yeah. My dad used to play the heck out of that in arcades. That was his go-to game, was Galaga.
Oh, Galaga is a lot of fun. Especially, you know, if you can get your second ship and keep it. It gets a lot easier after that.
Okay. I never got that far, so.
Yeah, I think the best game that I've ever had is I've made it to the third bonus round, which is 15 levels. I haven't been there since, but I think I usually run out of lives in, you know, like level 11 or 12. I can usually make it through two bonus rounds.
Do you find it easier to play on the Xbox or?
Oh no, it was much easier to play on an arcade. Just having that big joystick and the big buttons, it really does make a big difference.
I had a feeling it probably did, but that's cool.
I mean, if I played it more, I would probably actually consider getting one of those fight sticks, because you know that's basically what they are. They're just the arcade controls.
Do they have those for Xbox One? Oh, okay. Is it like the Street Fighter ones?
Yeah, there's. I think there's a Street Fighter one, and what's the other fighting game that just came out that Arbiter's in?
Killer Instinct.
Killer Instinct. Yeah, I think you can pick one up for either game. I think essentially they're the same thing. They just have a different theme on the outside.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me. And I think didn't they kind of open up the API for companies to kind of make their own custom controllers a little bit more for the Xbox One than they did the 360?
No, I pretty much think they're still doing what they were before. They're just taking apart a controller and putting it inside of a wooden box and wiring buttons to it.
Oh, okay.
They could be doing custom PCBs and stuff like that, but I doubt it.
Okay.
I know that's what a lot of the earlier fight sticks were. I don't know if they're still doing it that way or not.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought I heard something around the time that Xbox One came out that they were making that a little bit easier for third party to actually make those peripherals that work with the consoles. So they didn't have to be officially licensed through Microsoft, but they could be supported by the console through a kind of common API set or something like that.
Yeah. I mean, it's great if they did, because, you know, that makes the non-Microsoft products a little bit more robust instead of, you know, something just cobbled together in a garage, like a lot of the early fight sticks were.
Pop open the case and then just solder on some wires.
I'm actually kind of pumped for that Duke controller.
Yeah, I'm not. I was never quite a fan of the Duke.
Well, the Duke, it's you either loved it or you hated it.
Fair enough.
And I miss mine. I really wish I still had it.
Actually, I don't know if I ever. Well, no, I've held a Duke before. It's just back in college, but. The ones I have now, like for the Halo console, those are the smaller controllers.
Yeah, you have the S controllers.
Yeah.
The Duke, the big deal with it is, yeah, it's a huge controller, but to me, it's much more comfortable to hold because your fingers are not so much in a knot.
I could see that because it's a little bit bigger.
Well, it's not a little bit bigger. It's a lot bigger. But it also does make it a little bit more cumbersome in some ways that a lot of people didn't like. But as far as playing the games, it was a lot more comfortable to use that controller for me. And a lot has to do with the size of my hands. You know, I would love it if they would make one of these newer controllers basically the same shape, just larger. I wouldn't almost make it a fist holding the controller. You know, something where I could kind of stretch my fingers out a little bit.
So it's a little more comfortable and easier to use it at that point, yeah.
You know, like it made a small, medium, and a large.
You know, I think we brought that up on the show at some point. I forget what we did. Oh, yeah,
we had a pretty intensive discussion about it for a while.
But it just makes sense because you have kids that would probably like a little bit smaller of a controller, and then there's some people with gigantic hands that might want a little bit bigger controller.
Although then you lose that sight of a 5-year-old trying to hold on to one of these controllers. You know, they got it sitting in their lap and they're, you know, one fingering it to operate the buttons.
But I think it's a good idea. I'm guessing there's some reason that they haven't done it.
Well, they don't do it because of standardization. You know, if they can standardize it, then it's cheaper to make.
I mean, you have standard t-shirt sizes. Small, medium, large.
Yeah, well, a t-shirt's a mite cheaper than a controller is.
I know, but you can put all that those controller guts probably onto a little bit smaller of a board and a little bit bigger of a board. I don't know. Or maybe for the smaller controllers, take out the rumble packs. Or put in smaller rumble packs. Wait, you take them out or you just disable them?
I take them out.
Really? Okay.
It helps the balance of the controller better.
Oh.
For me.
Are they easy to take out in the standard controller?
Yeah, in the standard controller, they're pretty easy. You just split the case and unplug them and throw them off to the side.
Okay.
I haven't done it to my Elite yet because it's still under warranty.
Oh, gotcha.
Now, after it's out of warranty, then, yeah, that's the first thing that's going to happen.
Fair enough. Yeah, when Absolistic. Okay. So it makes it lighter, too. And we got a viewer. Yay! We're halfway into the show, and we finally have someone to talk to.
Yes, it will save on batteries, but I play wired anyway, so it doesn't really matter.
My controller is always plugged in unless I'm playing with my fiance or if I'm playing at someone else's house and the Xbox is 6-10 feet across the room.
I mean, in my living room, I run the controller off batteries. You know, up here in my office where I play most of the time, it just stays plugged in.
And I have the rechargeable battery packs in all my controllers except for one. So I don't even worry about...
My daily driver doesn't even have any batteries in it. No reason. It's always plugged in, so there's no point in having any batteries in it.
That's true.
Anyways, one hooked to the Xbox and one hooked to the PC.
My Elite's on my PC, and I just have the standard one on the Xbox. I actually like the standard controller over the Elite controller. I'm one of those oddballs.
I like the feel of the Elite controller. The standard controllers are just too smooth. It's just hard for me to get a grip on them.
I do like the grip of the Elite, but the weight and the sticks, how they move and feel, I think the standard controller a little bit better.
Yeah, see, I like the sticks on the Elite because they feel like they move a lot smoother. The only thing I would really wish is that they had more tension to them.
More tension?
More tension, yeah.
Okay.
They're really soft. I like the sticks on a 360 controller better.
Well, and the 360 ones had those little plastic kind of swivel things, too. And now that I'm thinking about it, that kind of would be something you think they would think about for the Elite controller, is adjustable tension in the sticks.
There have been some people putting out Wish videos for the second gen Elite that has been rumored. We'll see.
Okay.
I did break the bumper on one of my Elite controllers, but that's because I threw it, not because I hammered on it too hard. I got frustrated.
Aw.
Bobby!
Yeah. Was it under warranty?
Probably. I don't know. I never sent it in, so I just ordered up another one. I'm going to take that one apart and do some customizations to it.
Very nice.
I found a company that they actually make metal buttons that you can adjust the height of the button on. You can make it stick up higher. So it just makes it a little easier to feel which button you're pushing.
I think for a second gen Elite controller, there's definitely a few things that they could add features to or improve on. So we'll see.
Well, there's overall just controller designs that they can improve on. The bumpers are one of them. The bumpers do have a real problem, and it's not just the Elite. It's across all the controllers. I've seen people break that bumper on, lots of controllers. And it seems like it's always that right one. Because you got the sync button going through that piece of plastic that actually holds the bumper bar, and it weakens right there, and it snaps right there by that button every time.
That is the one thing I've heard repeatedly over and over again is the bumpers on the Elite are actually worse than or there is an opinion that they're worse than the standard controller, the stock controller.
No, I think people just get a lot more aggressive with the Elite controller.
Could be that too. You're expecting it to take a little more abuse, I think.
I have to admit, I've only actually broke one Xbox One controller because of just using it. And that was my day one edition controller. The way I play is I use the right thumbstick. I would push down for melee, and I literally pushed the thumbstick down, and it won't come back up.
Oh.
So I broke the spring that was under it.
I haven't broken a single or broken slash damage or whatever a single Xbox One controller yet.
And on my 360s, basically all that would happen with those is I would wear out the joysticks.
Yeah, I think I had a drift on one of my controllers, but everything else worked except when it came to the wires starting to get frayed and the wrapper starting to come on undone. But other than that, just the drift.
Oh, on the play charge kit?
No, on just the standard wired controllers.
Oh, the wired controllers, yeah. Yeah, pretty much every one of my 360 controllers have drift.
Yeah. But now you can use the Xbox One controllers for PC, because I bought extra 360 controllers because I was using them for PC and emulation.
Yeah. I mean, overall, I'm really happy with my Elite. It's comfortable for me. I like button placement. Yeah, about the only thing I would, the only two things is, one, redesign that button mechanism so it doesn't break, and two, give me adjustable stick tension.
Sounds good to me.
And maybe one more button on it to launch the accessories app, just to make it easier to switch them back or, get into profiles and stuff.
Well, they have the switch there for the lifetime profiles.
Yeah, but you can only keep two profiles there.
Right.
If you play more than two games, then you usually need more than two profiles. It's like with my controller, I've got four profiles I use. Or no, sorry.
Four?
Three. No, four. Because I have two profiles for Master Chief Collection, and then I have a profile that I use for Halo 5, and then I have a profile I use for Forza.
So they could probably put a section or button under the settings tab on the home flyout if it detects an Elite controller plugged in.
Well, I mean, yeah, you can go into the settings and go right into it. I just, one button press to launch the application.
Doesn't seem like they'd do that, though.
I know they won't, but it'd be nice.
Just saying, it would probably be easier for them to put something into the settings tab on the fly-in than putting a button specifically to launch one app. Because you can also plug those into Windows.
And the app's on Windows, too, so.
I don't know if it's built in, though. It might be. I don't know.
I think when you plug in a controller, it automatically downloads it.
Well, if your computer's not connected to the internet.
Then I guess you're screwed.
Fair enough.
Then you can't get controller updates either.
Yeah, I guess.
Speaking of which, I probably ought to check and see if my controllers need updates.
Another little Reddit post is someone found a career posting on Microsoft Careers for a creative director for VR experiences. So it looks like they're still looking at some more stuff past Halo Recruit, which I still haven't gone to my Microsoft store to check that out and show it to my fiance, but I should probably get on that at some point, maybe after the wedding, because there's a lot of stuff going on right now anyways. It looks like they're still continuing to look into the avenue of VR for future Halo experiences. It would be cool to see if they took some of the stuff that they're doing on Windows 10 and applied it to Xbox. So instead of like a Kinect integration, you have a whatever the Windows 10 VR integration things. I forget what those are called.
Well, it's coming eventually.
I wonder if they put some stuff or they plan for some stuff with the X to support that kind of power I'm guessing they possibly did.
I mean, the idea of VR was probably I know it was a driving force behind the X, but the configuration of the X, it doesn't look like you would be able to run a VR headset off of it because it only has one video out. And if I remember right, VR headsets require two.
You might be able to do multiple video channels over HDMI, one of the HDMI profiles.
Yeah, I'm not an expert in VR.
Larry's in the chat. He might have some inklings into that kind of stuff. That's a little interesting little tidbit to see that they're still looking into. And there's the whole mess with Rex and loot boxes and everything. And we were talking a little bit before the show began. We may try to do another roundtable regarding Rex. I know we did one before. I forget how long ago it was or which episode it was. But it seems like it might be relevant enough to maybe bring up in another discussion with maybe some different guests and opinions in light of recent news and other happenings around the world. So we might try to do that at some point. But I think both of our opinions still stand on Rex systems. It's not really that bad. There's a couple of things that could be changed to make it not as offensive to some people, I guess.
Customization. Oh.
I remember Bio searching for that wolf skin for the pistol for the longest time.
Yeah. And I actually managed to beat him to it.
Yes, you did. It's funny because both of you were doing rec videos almost weekly trying to find that skin.
The only reason I was doing it is to see if I could beat him to it.
And you did. That was funny. That was really funny. Bobby and I actually did some Legendary this past weekend, too. Streamed a little
bit. I saw that. I didn't get a chance to actually watch the stream, but I saw that you were playing.
Yeah, we got through the first three missions, and I'll tell you, he makes Legendary look like normal. I'm serious. It didn't feel that hard to me. Granted, it was only the first three missions, but it didn't feel that difficult. And it's Legendary. He was telling me like what I needed to do and where to put units and how far to go up and not to go too far into any particular place. Like, he had all the strategy and I was just his little puppet. Like, okay, yes, master, I will do this.
Yeah, I was doing fine on my Legendary run until I got to the first mission with Alice. And I failed that first one and I haven't been back on it since. I just, busy with other things. But I do plan on jumping back on that and getting back in there.
That's where we stopped, because Alice is the fourth mission. I think that's where we are. But, I mean, I don't see us running into too many issues until maybe kind of after the midway point. I don't know, Bobby, what do you think? But it's not... It wasn't that bad. So Bobby is great with Legendary. A lot better so than I am. And I'm sure everyone else in here is probably a lot better than I am at this. I know Laird is a lot better. Bobby's definitely a lot better. GT, you're probably a little bit better than I am at the RTS stuff.
Well, I'll tell you this much. My first go through on the original Halo Wars, on Legendary, it was brutal. But after I got through it and figured out the strategy, it got a lot easier to do.
I think I just haven't taken the time to think about strategies on certain things. Because I'm guessing it's just a totally different mindset than first-person shooters. Because first-person shooters is reaction strategy.
Yeah, in a strategy game, you have to be looking at the long game the whole level. And right, that's where playing through on the lower difficulties helps you, because you know what's coming and you kind of know what you need to have to counter the, what is coming, whether it be the enemy's going to have a bunch of air, they're going to have a bunch of infantry, they're going to have a bunch of vehicles, or, you know, anybody who can counter two of the three, they build a whole bunch of wraiths. So I'll build air because the wraiths are not good against air. You know, things like that.
Okay. I know kind of the basic versus type of stuff, but I just don't think long-term strategy, which Bobby is saying in the chat, he focuses on long-term and that's why he can't play versus players because he's susceptible to rushes.
Yeah, and you know, when you're playing multiplayer, that's something you have to, that has to be part of your game plan. You have to build for the long game, but you also have to defend for that short game. You know, you got to get past that short game before you can go into the long game.
I know this is kind of a little random, but has there been any Halo Wars 2 tournaments out there?
Nothing kind of that I've seen.
Social space anywhere? I wonder if it'd be interesting to host that kind of tournament, because there's other communities out there that have done 1v1s, 2v2s, 4v4s, 8v8s, that kind of stuff. It'd be interesting to host a little tournament.
And Halo Wars, I used to have a pretty good, not Scarab, Locust Rush. It'd work on pretty much most players until I got up into the higher ranks. Then, you know, those people have learned to be able to defend their bases from, you know, all the different rushes out there. I doubt I could even pull off a Locust Rush anymore. It's been so long since I played multiplayer.
I'd have to rely on a lot of other people to define the rules of the tournament, but it would be interesting to give it a go. It doesn't even look like Game Bells has any tournaments for Halo Wars 2 that has been registered or competed for.
Well, you know, they do have that tournaments tab in the Halo clubs now.
So not every game supports tournaments.
Well, I know. But I mean, that's a place to start. See if it is a supported game.
Yeah, but it really surprised me that they haven't worked on expanding tournaments to other games. Because it was Forza and Killer Instinct. I think those were the only two games that supported tournaments at one point. And I don't even know what other games
they were the first ones now. Yeah. I don't know if they've added to that list or not.
I mean, I'm trying to look through the Xbox app now, but granted, I don't even know where to actually like create one and see what games are available to them. Halo Wars Nations Club do tournaments from console, but how do they do those tournaments?
Looks like the current ones that are available are Injustice 2, Killer Instincts, World of Tanks, and Halo Wars 2.
Oh, so there is Halo Wars 2. Interesting.
But yeah, if you just go into the Podtacular group and go under tournaments, it'll let you create a tournament.
Okay. That's kind of cool. Might have to look into that. Yeah, that's really cool. I thought Forza was on there at one point. I wonder what happened to it.
I don't know.
It is a little weird, though, that there's only four titles supported by tournaments.
I think it's one of those ideas that it was a good idea, but never took off. Or they've run into some glaring issue with it.
Maybe. Might be a good question to ask Major Nelson for his podcast that we surpassed. At least passed in numbers, not in like viewership or anything. We're not that popular.
Oh, by no means.
I mean, it'd be nice to garner some new audience members, but it would really need a lot more time and effort that me and GT personally do not have.
I think Major Nelson has done two live streams on Mixer for his podcast, and I think on each one he was like 15,000 people watched it.
15,000?
Something like that. It was like 10 or 15,000 people.
I remember when we were getting those numbers. That was back in the Halo 4 days.
On a live stream?
Not a live stream, but downloads.
Oh, yeah. Oh, probably on downloads. He's probably at 50,000.
Yeah, if not pushing like 80.
Yeah.
Per episode, probably.
Because they cover, well, you know, the one thing about them is, one, he's got Microsoft behind him. Two, you know, they don't just focus on one game. They're a gaming podcast, not a game podcast.
Right.
He's got a lot more going for him than we do. Got a lot deeper pockets funding him too.
That's true. But, I mean, for us, it's just a labor of love, and while it would be nice to have a lot more viewership, it's not a crux of why we do it, so we just continue to push through with what we do.
Yeah, we're definitely not doing this to get rich.
No. We're doing this just because this is what we love to do.
And the people that show up are truly dedicated to the game and our podcast or our community.
And we get to have fun with that. Next little tidbit for us to cover is there's a new Halo Boomco M6 blaster. It is ODST themed. It's the same design from in-game, or at least that's what it says. I honestly forget what it looks like in-game, but for those that are in the chat, here's a link to the Boomco. I actually should have put the associate link, but oh well. If anyone intends to buy it, use this link instead. There is... Well, actually, there's not a restriction on stock. When I bought this the other day, there was only like 5 left, but I guess they've restocked. So there's plenty to go around. It is $14.99 on Amazon. And I'm sure there's some other brick-and-mortar stores that this is being sold at as well. But Amazon makes it nice, quick, and easy, especially if you have Prime. But it is pretty well done. I like the design of this one.
Yeah, it looks good.
I think if I had to showcase any one of them, it would probably be this one. So I've bought one, and it'll be added to my armory. I was debating on buying two. I might later down the road, but I'll have one for now. But for those that are listening to us and not seeing it, it's basically the stock is black. The magazine and the barrel is yellow. And I forget what the little slider thing on the top is called. But it starts yellow in the front. It has a little... It has the UNSC logo, and then it fades to a burnt orange in the back, and then it has a little yellow ODST insignia on the handle. Again, just go to Amazon, search for Halo Boomco ODST M6 Blaster, and you'll find it. We'll also post the link up on the podcast episode as well, and it'll be on social media.
It'll be everywhere! Except at my house.
Oh. Do you have some of the Boomco stuff?
No, I don't have any of the Boomco stuff.
Are you interested in any of the Boomco stuff?
You know, not particularly, but
okay.
If it was to show up at my house, I wouldn't complain about it.
Okay. Got it. Good to know. So that's pretty much it for tonight. Like I said earlier, there's not much news. I'll refresh the news list on Waypoint one more time. Yep, nothing there. So we'll wait till next week for a little more information. And then the weekend following will actually be the Orlando Open LAN. Weekend following? No. 2 weekends after that. So we'll have one podcast, and then the following week we actually won't be doing a podcast because I'll be on business travel. So we'll actually be skipping the week of February 5th or February 4th is the Sunday. Hopefully before then, though, we'll have our first guest of the year on, hopefully next week. And we'll get the roundtable regarding Rex hopefully in place for when we come back. We'll also have another book to do, which Gallery Books actually reached out to me, and they're looking to give us some books to give away on social media for Legacy of Onyx and Smoke and Shadow. They're actually just going to do Smoke and Shadow at first. Then I said, hey, we're actually doing Legacy of Onyx next month. And they said, well, we'll give you both. So waiting to hear back from them on details on what exactly they want to do, but there are going to be some book giveaways within the next few weeks coming up.
That's cool.
Yeah. Depending on when we get them, we may tried to give away some of the books beforehand so people can read up so they can listen to the podcast. If not, it might be something where if people come to the podcast and listen to it, then we can give it away kind of based on, hey, we're talking about it, but if you want to read the details and actually get the full story, not just our hashed abbreviation of it, then you can potentially win one of the books. we'll see how it works out. We'll have more information posted on social media whenever we hear it, and on the podcast next week whenever we hear it as well. A little update on our Spartan company. We have the 3 level 4s still, the closest one being forget to pay the toll. Kill the driver of a moving vehicle by using a sniper rifle. We need another 28. I feel like that didn't move much from last week.
Probably not.
I'm not sure if it moved at all last week.
I've started doing screen caps.
Yeah, no kidding.
Let's see. 28? Yeah. Forget to pay the toll. I think we got 7 more from last week. If I remember, I think last week we had like 33 or 35.
Okay. Yeah, I thought it was 32, but you're probably right. From the top rope and pain train, we should still be getting some because Castle Wars is still out there. And this is one where we should be making some pretty decent progress. And unfortunately, I will not be able to join game night tomorrow because my mom is in town.
Oh, you just saw her last month.
Well, she's up here for the bridal shower.
Oh.
Which is Saturday. I got to play the take care of the family role. So unfortunately, I won't be there this week. Hoping to be there next week, though. At least for a little bit. And then the closest level 5 that we have is... Actually, from the top rope is the closest level 5 that we have. We need another 442 ground pounds. And that will be done. We could probably get that one within the next couple of months. And depending on how long Castle Wars stays around, we might be able to get that finished out.
Possibly. You'd have to go in there and really focus on them.
Try to get the map that has the towers from the base and then just keep on ground pounding.
Yeah, I kind of wonder if the Spartan charge doesn't register in Castle Wars. Because every time I see it pop up on my screen, it says I get a sword skill.
Oh, yeah. That sucks. Yeah, because whenever you are thrusting with the sword, it does count as a sword kill. Yeah, that really sucks, doesn't it? Well, ground pound would work, but yeah, shoulder bash. I didn't even think about that. That sucks.
And you can't sprint with the flag, so you can't get a sword charge with the flag.
Yeah, that really sucks. Well, too bad for that. Oh, well. Like, there's other ways to get it. Arena and Warzone. You can
still work on the melee. Sting like a bee.
Yes.
I think if you melee with a sword, it still counts as a melee.
You're probably right. There's a long way to go on some of these, though. It's going to be a struggle to get it done by Halo 6, but it's possible. Well, that's all we have for tonight. GT, you got anything?
There will be hopefully a recording of Achieving Halo this weekend, the 27th. There is a post up on our Xbox Club. So if you would like to join in, respond to that post or shoot me a message on Twitter and respond to the post or on Xbox Live, and we'll get you in. Looking at 7 p.m. Eastern time, and we'll be doing the breaking. And we are going to attempt to kill 2 wardens on legendary. On normal, it's really easy to kill a warden. It takes about 10 shots from or 10 headshots from a light rifle. So we'll see how hard it is to kill them on legendary. I might go in and do some testing tomorrow night.
And it's going to be even more tricky to try to do them at the same time.
Yeah. You know, there is a little bit of a window there.
Yeah, it's like, what, 2 seconds?
There are enough heavy weapons on that level that it shouldn't be too bad. You know, if we can coordinate weapons fire.
Well, and try to pull in heavy weapons with you, too. Like, whenever you're going into the room.
There are, you know, like I said, there's several binary rifles. There's several incendiary cannons, so... I think, you know, as long as we can synchronize the damage, it shouldn't be too bad.
Okay.
And no, we will not be trying the dual assassination.
Wait, I mean, that's not an achievement, right?
No, it's not an
achievement. You're responding to Bobby. Okay, gotcha. I missed that for a second. Yeah, that might be a little difficult. I mean, if you could pull it off, great.
Well, we might try it just to see, but
I have a feeling there might be some edits in this episode.
Yeah, there's going to be a couple edits. I will be showing how, I will also be showing you how to bypass the wardens if you choose not to fight them.
I thought they patched that.
It still works. Trade it still tonight. Still
works? Okay. Yep.
It's a little more complicated than it was, but it still works.
Okay. Cool. I don't think that was there by design, Arikibu. I think they came out and said, oops.
Well, you know, if it wasn't there by design, that's kind of a kick in it for the speedrunners. You know, people that want to speedrun that level, because, you know, the only other way to get up there is the ramp, and you have to kill all three wardens. And in a speedrun, that just doesn't make sense.
Maybe they did. I thought they came out and said at some point that that wasn't intentional.
It probably wasn't intentional. Most of the things that speedrunners do in games are not intentional.
This is true.
But the funny thing was, is, you know, I'm sitting here trying to do this, you know, just practicing so I can, you know, get the rhythm down so I can show up properly. Next thing I know, Fred's up there. I'm like, Fred, how the heck did you get up here?
How did you do that?
You know, I'm set, you know, I've got to do all these funky tricks and everything to get up there, and, you know, all of a sudden Fred's just standing there. Hey, what you doing? What you doing, Chief?
It's like, why aren't you up here? It's like, how are you up there? Freaking wizard.
Yeah, I don't know. But yes, it does. The skip still does work.
Very nice. Well, that will wrap it up for us tonight, everyone. We got a few people that joined in finally to watch us. We got Bobby Laird, Arikibu, and Abolistic. Am I saying that right? Abolistics or Abolistic?
I think you said it was like right. Abo earlier.
Abolistics. That's not an X, so maybe Abolistic.
I'll just go with Ballistic.
That works.
Oh, he's agreeing with you, so I guess you're getting it right.
I guess so. Again, next week, hopefully next week, we will be having our first guest on, Eckhart's Ladder. Make sure you check him out over on YouTube. He is a sci-fi tech comparison channel. He takes Star Wars, Halo, and a few other franchises like Battlestar Galactica and Mass Effect, and does some comparisons from technologies such as ships, armors, weapons, damage. His latest one is, I forget what he calls it, Arikibu, you might have to help me out here, but basically comparing three or four different franchises on kind of the inherent, I forget, Arikibu might have to help me out here, but it's something along the lines of the unlikeliness of the hero of the story being able to do some of the things that he's able to do, which shouldn't really be normal. Plot armor comparison. Yeah, that's it. So how much of the plot gives kind of a defensive value to the main characters that help drive the franchises? That isn't necessarily innate in their character, but the plot of the universe or the stories that they're trying to tell helps kind of buff those characters to succeed where they normally shouldn't. Make sure you check him out on YouTube. Hopefully we'll have him on next week. He's pretty open as far as schedules go, and I didn't hear anything from him coming on for this week, so hopefully we'll get him next week. And then we'll look at trying to do the Rec Roundtable round two at some point, either after I get back from my trip in February or sometime in the February timeframe, along with Legacy of Onyx. So if you have the book, start reading it, because we'll be talking about it in February. And if you don't have it, you can wait until we give some away, or you can go out and get it on Amazon if you want. Podtaggler.com/, I think, Onyx Legacy will take you there. I think that's the URL I have for it. I'm going to check real quick, but you can just do a search on Amazon for it if you want. Yeah,
way to be prepared there, Dust.
Well, I thought I had this out there before. I guess I didn't. I thought I created a link for it at one point. Anyways, I'll create a link that's Onyx Legacy, and it'll take you there. There. Happy. And make sure you check us out on our social media platforms. We are on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Mixer, Twitch, Xbox Club, Spartan Company, all that fun stuff. If you have it, just search Potacular and you'll find it. Also, make sure you check out the podcast network. We're part of a group of gaming-specific shows, including Critzcast, which is a TF2 podcast, Guardian Radio, which is a Destiny podcast, The Learning Cliff, which is a Eve Online podcast, Podcast 76, which is a Overwatch podcast, Work in Progress, and How to Murder Time. You can find out more about those podcasts over at thepodcast.com. Also, a reminder to check out our Xbox Club. You can go over to podtaggler.com/Xbox and look for the Looking for Group post that GT has up regarding the next recording of Achieving Halo. And also make sure you check us out on Friday nights at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time when GT hosts our Frag on Fridays. And we have basically now moved our show permanently to Thursdays, and those start at 9 p.m. Eastern Time as well.
Until the update starts moving around again.
Exactly. We'll have to see when this next one gets posted. That'll be it for tonight. Thanks everyone for tuning in, and thanks everyone for joining the live stream who did. Really appreciate the support out here. We will catch you all next week, if not at some point this weekend. Until next time, keep on fragging nothing, because there's no news. Keep on fragging dead air.